ready for Country Thunder. Creed is one of the headliners in Craven next summer. Lainey Wilson will also be there. Country music fans are big fans of Lainey Wilson. But Britton had to take the day today. He took the day to celebrate.
Can I explain something to people that might not understand the fascination with Creed? This is going to take a minute. So millennials went hard after Nickelback. Started about 15, maybe longer years ago. And it went on for a long, long time. And it was it was very confusing. People are like, this is just a band. Like, why do millennials hate Nickelback so much? Then Gen Z's come along. And they start getting of the age where they can go to concerts. So Gen Z's go to concerts. And they're like, hold on. This Nickelback band, this isn't so bad. And then they started countering the Nickelback hate online. So millennials were like, well, this is confusing. We got the younger generation.
I'm already confused.
Going after us because we hate Nickelback. So what they did was they ironically started liking Creed to offset the hatred they were now getting for hating Nickelback.
Did you write a thesis paper on this?
Hear me out. Scott Stapp gets sober. He goes on tour. And he's now performing. And millennials in their matching Crocs are all going to these shows. And they've revitalized this guy's career. And it's all based on...
I did not see music history with Locker coming on
the Creed playing Country Thunder. Of Nickelback and the confusion about why everybody hated Nickelback. So they ironically started liking Creed. So if you're wondering what the inside joke is, that's what it is.
No, it's not. Creed's just a solid band that people find entertaining. That's it.
They're a great band.
I think you're looking far too deeply into this.
They're a great band. But I just nailed it. That's exactly what happened. They started to feel bad so that they went, okay, well, we got to like something that kind of makes sense and sort of ties into this post-grunge thing revolving around Nickelback.
That kind of sounds like Nickelback.
Yeah.
I'm just here so I don't get fined. This is the starting lineup. The top sports headlines. We're getting ready for the Vanier Cup tomorrow.
Let's go, Vanier! Woo!
I showed up too early for the pancake breakfast. Did you get escorted in with cheers from the dance team of the University of Regina Cougars/Rams?
No, I avoided that.
You went through the side.
Can I go back?
Because we were at the pancake breakfast this morning. Thanks to everybody. That was a high energy room for like 8:30 in the morning, wasn't it, Locker?
Yeah.
It was the Vanier Cup and the volunteers and the dignitaries and Rams, and there's Husky fans there as well, of course.
You hung out with Mayor Chad?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Mayor Chad like this now after our chat this morning. But Regina is hosting the Vanier Cup, 1 o'clock, Mosaic Stadium. The Huskies' second ever meeting with the Caravan. Of course, the Huskies, Mitchell Bowl champions, the University of Montreal, UTEC Bowl champions. They will go head to head tomorrow at Mosaic Stadium. And it's all up for grabs, the Vanier Cup, the national championship. Saskatchewan's going for a sweep here with the Canadian Bowl, Vanier Cup, and of course the Grey Cup.
Quick mention of Valkyries as well. Got to do it, or we'll get text. NFL, the Thursday nighter. My Bills dropped the ball in Houston.
Allen under pressure, pocket collapsing. Down he goes. Allen, look out from behind, avoids the sack. Still running around. Whoa, and down he goes. Allen pressured again. Down he goes.
8 times Josh Allen got sacked last night. We knew that the Houston Texans had a good defense, but that was, yeah, brutal. Buffalo 19, Houston 23. The Bills fall to 7-4. The Texans keep their playoff hopes alive. And I'm not sure yet how I feel about the Houston Texans eating Buffalo wings at the end of the game on their way to the locker room. Still processing.
They're just trolling a little bit. I thought it was funny.
All right.
Ooh, that defensive line was fierce last night for the Texans. Meanwhile, to the National, you just had a great night last night, didn't you, Locker? The Bills lose. Ooh. The Oilers lose.
Circle Nurse shoots a man. Rebound loose in front.
What a save! Ross will make it look like an open net.
Kuchov the other way. Right side Radish with Gensel across the line. Radish for Gensel. Score! Gensel! Jake Gensel wins it. Andrew Vasilevsky made an absolutely miraculous save.
When Jake Gensel scored, he was pointing down the ice. Go celebrate with Andre Vasilevsky yeah. Because the Edmonton Oilers in overtime, he made one save. Then he stuck out the pad for a second save. And then, as Roslovic tries to put it over, he lifts his pad like 6 inches off the ice just for the third save. Goes right back down the ice. Gensel scores. The Tampa Bay Lightning did score late in the third as well to send it to overtime.
Nick Paul. That game, to me, though, like I will say this, that if you haven't seen that last sequence, which we just played, go watch the video. It's unbelievable. But I'm okay with that game last night because that was a game where the team showed up. There was a couple of lapses. That tying goal in the third was all on McDavid. And I agree with you. He should be going into the dressing room at the end of the night and apologizing to Bouchard. Because he was brutal in that play. But I'm okay with that loss. It'll be interesting. We'll have Drew on a little later on. I want to get his thoughts on whether you start Skinner or Pickard tomorrow night in Florida against the Panthers.
Yes, the Oilers take on the Panthers tomorrow night.
The Blue Jackets have the Leafs number this year.
Jackets going the other way. Top four for Fantilli. Cutting to the net.
Yeah, the winner from Adam Fantilli. John Tavares got another one. He's actually looked pretty good. And those of you who are Leaf fans are well aware that Austin Matthews was not in the lineup, but he did take part in the morning skate. So he's got a lower body thing, and it's apparently not associated with whatever he was going to Germany to try to fix, the lower back thing. But that was an OT win for the Columbus Blue Jackets over the Leafs again, and it was a final of 3-2-2. A lot of overtime games, a lot of close games in the NHL right now.
Meanwhile, for the Winnipeg Jets, not great news for their goaltender.
Hellebuck gave it away. Robert, what a stop! Hellebuck! Jason Robertson goes to the trailer. Hartley rebounds.
Connor Hellebuck needs arthroscopic knee surgery. He will miss a month or more. Of course, he's the reigning MVP, Hart Trophy winner of the National Hockey League. So we'll see how big of a loss it will be for the Jets without their MVP. They take on the Hurricanes tomorrow night in the NHL.
And the OHL announced a huge punishment today for a Brampton Steelhead defenseman.
Shot stopped by Bowen. The rebound, though, pops out. Dragusica goes down behind the net, as does Blasig. And oh my, Dragusica just slashed Blasig in the head.
That's hard video to watch. Dragusica, I got his name right. Luke will not be playing for the rest of the year. He got body checked behind the net.
He kind of got sandwiched.
Sandwiched. He was upset about it. Two of the three players involved in the sandwich fell. One skates away. He follows him, and right across the face, he slashed. I don't think he should be allowed to play hockey again, and clearly needs some anger management help.
That was ugly one to see.
Yeah.
But
there's slashing, and then there's...
It's a two-hander across the face.
Yeah.
Like, from behind.
He broke his nose.
Oh, it was.
I hope he didn't break any, like, orbital bone.
You can
or
see the
like that.
Blood on the ice.
Yeah.
Awful play. But I think that's deserved. Done for the year. Not playing in the playoffs is Luke Dragusica. Coming up next here on the Green Zone. Oh, yeah. The Green Zone Tic Tac 20 contest. It's up to $300 for the jackpot this week. We'll tell you who's playing for some money next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. A reminder, it is All Request Friday. What do you want to hear going into the weekend? Maybe it's a celebration song. What a week it's been in Saskatchewan celebrating the Saskatchewan Rough Riders fifth Grey Cup championship with their 25-17 win over the Montreal Alouettes on Sunday in Winnipeg. So maybe you want to, what was the first song you cranked up to celebrate?
Also,
Riders Championship.
Start thinking. We're going to look back at the season here. This is the conversation we want to have on the Green Zone today. And you can send us a text. What was your favorite moment? It doesn't have to be the Grey Cup. Maybe it is. Maybe that supersedes everything that happened. But we want your thoughts on what moment. Is it a play in the game? Is it a trip to a game with a first-time fan? Whatever the case might be, let us know.
What are you going to remember about 2025 for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders? 1-877-332-8255. Well, let's get to the Green Zone Tic Tac 20 contest. The jackpot is now up to $300. We've gone back-to-back weeks without a winner. This is the most the jackpot's been because we had two $200 winners already this season. But the jackpot sits at $300 as we get ready for Saturday in the National Hockey League. Tomorrow in the NHL, there are 12 games in total, and we can tell you Daryl Lucician is going.
I think you got it. You nailed it.
I think I got that right.
Nailed it.
Daryl Lucician is playing for $300 from Saskatoon. All you need, one game tomorrow. Start with a goal in the first 20 seconds of the first period in one of those 12 NHL games, and Daryl, you will win $300 with the Green Zone Tic Tac 20 contest.
Daryl out of Saskatoon. Good luck.
And of course, you can still sign up. It's not over. You can still sign up to play with the Green Zone Tic Tac 20 contest at CJME.com and CKOM.com. Thinking back to the 2025 season, when in the Green Zone Lounge, we're asking for what are your top memories? One memory Murray Wood brought up was the A.J. Ouellette Ottawa play. The interception, Bryce Carter running back for a touchdown, and A.J. Ouellette
caught him,
sprinting down the field, catching him from behind. And I think we said that night, when we saw that play go, that is,
yeah, you guys on the post
indication
show
of how hard AJ and this team are playing for each other.
If I remember correctly, that might have been Daryl's play of the game too, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, he was 30 yards away from that play, 25 yards away from that
play.
It
felt like Bryce Carter had all day to get to the end zone, and then all of a sudden, here comes number 45. The mane flying out of the back of his helmet, flying down the field, and it went from 15 to 10 to 5 yard gap until he finally.
And he could have let him go.
Well, some guys would have been like, "Ah, he's done," and they look at each other and go, "What happened?" Well, the guy's running down the field, but nope. That
play, in my opinion, defined this team in this season. I agree.
Now, coming up here on the Green Zone, you will hear from A.J. Ouellette and Trevor Harris. They joined us late yesterday on the Green Zone, but we've heard from a lot of people going, "I missed it." So we want to replay a good portion of it. Some stories they've never told before with us yesterday in studio. You'll hear just past the 2:30 news. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone on this Friday afternoon. 1-877-332-8255. Michael wanted to hear Gold on the Ceiling by the Black Keys. It feels good to celebrate a Grey Cup win in Winnipeg, says Michael in Saskatoon. 1-877-332-8255. Your requests if you want a celebratory tune this afternoon.
And we're also taking your favorite moments of the season as well. This is from Dean in Regina. Tavon Campbell's pick six to seal the Labor Day Classic is on Dean's list.
The pick two.
Pick two. That's right. It wasn't a pick six. It was a pick two because they were old. They were going for two. I thought he made a mistake, so I corrected it.
The pick two for the win in the Labor Day game for Tavon Campbell. As we continue here in the Green Zone, we had a fantastic chat. Thanks for all the feedback, by the way. I had a lot of people texting us about how much you enjoyed it. But if you missed it, here's a portion of our in-studio interview with two Grey Cup champions, Trevor Harris and AJ Ouellette, starting off with the most convincing way someone has tried to have Trevor Harris return to the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
AJ threatened to kill me. no. Yeah, I mean, it's really been a topic of conversation quite a bit this year because I think it's just because of my age. Like, I feel like I was supposed to feel a certain way. People just kept asking. I was like, am I supposed to feel old? Am I supposed to feel brittle? Or am I supposed to feel like deteriorating some way? And I just haven't felt that. And it was more or less just like, I'm going to take a moment to kind of think about it every offseason. And I still feel the exact same way. I'll make a decision in the next week or so and kind of just go from there.
Yeah, Jay, are you going anywhere?
Oh, no. But yeah,
I'll kill him.
He's a competitor. Okay, so if you hype him up, it doesn't do much for him. But if you tell him he can't do something, that's going to set the fire underneath him. So I remember when he was giving his little speech, everyone's cheering, one more year. And I'm in the, like, media area where all the cameras are, and I'm cheering, you suck.
Yeah, he's the guy that at practice I'll throw a great pass or whatever, and people are like, "Dang, Trev, good pass!" And AJ's like, "You're trash." I'm like, "Shut up, little kid."
You can see the bond of this team. What was it like to finish the job on Sunday when the ball falls incomplete, AJ?
Oh, it was. I can't even say words that will mean what that moment meant. I just found the closest person to me just to give him a kiss. And then I promised Andrew I'd give him a kiss. So I had to go find him to go give him a kiss. And then I'm trying to find everyone else to hug. And Trevor spoke on this earlier. It was the seeing everyone else celebrate and seeing the guys from here and all the work that the coaching staff put in and every player on the team contributed. Just getting to see them celebrate was my favorite part of the day.
Your celebration was a bit different.
Yeah.
Down on one knee. I imagine saying some few words to Lord and Savior and things like that. But what was going through your head?
Yeah, I took a few steps onto the field and I was just like, okay, act like you'd been there before. And I was kind of just overcome by emotion. And that's kind of just what you saw. And I haven't told anybody this, but on day four, the night before the game, I was sitting in my room just kind of reflecting, and I found myself crying. And it was just so much gratitude for what this group has meant to me, the friendships, the bonds that this team has created, and how grateful I am to play for Mark Mueller, for Coach Mace, for the green and white. And I was like, I just need to go take a walk. And so I put a hoodie on to try and not get noticed and just took a 20-minute walk, and I just put on some gospel music, and I just sobbed. And just out of gratitude, it wasn't out of sadness. It was just so thankful to be able to play in this moment, because you grow up and, you know, as Americans, you grow up dreaming of the Super Bowl. But I've been up here for 14 years, so that's shifted. I want to win Grey Cups. That's what I want to do. And the fact that I have kids that understand what's going on, the fact that I get to play for the team that when I was playing in Toronto, I was like, someday I want to be the quarterback of the Riders. And to be able to be in this moment was just like one of those things. I was just overcome by emotion of gratitude. And it was just such a great time going out there and just kind of reflecting real quick for those 20 minutes and just taking a nice walk.
One of the things that we've learned about this team outside looking in is that this team has not only got a great culture and you guys seem to get along, but you're also really, really authentic. AJ, is that something that you think was passed down from the coach, or was that something that you think individually you guys all brought to the table?
Yeah, everybody's their own person, right? And coach wants you to do that. That's when you're going to be at your best, when you're comfortable, when you feel like yourself. Yeah. If you're trying to change and be someone you're not, you're always going to be constantly thinking about what you should be saying, what you shouldn't be saying, how you should be playing and all that. He wants guys to play a certain way, so he goes and gets those type of people so they don't have to pretend to be anything that they're not. And, yeah, like you said, it starts from the top guy, right? Coach got the guys he wants, and he tells us act the way we do.
What is it about Corey Mace? Like, people gravitate to him. He inspires people. What is it?
Man, he's got it. Whatever it is, he's got it. I saw it in Toronto, the way that he could get a room to just focus in and just follow his lead. His ability to say the right thing at the right moment, and his ability to control emotions no matter what the circumstances are, how good or how bad it is. He can control his emotions.
It's authenticity. And I tell you, if there's three, four hallmarks of leadership, authenticity is one of the main ones. And that's what he is. Did you see him after the game dancing? What head coach acts like that?
Yeah.
None. But he does, because it's who he is, and people love him for that. And people will go the extra mile and do whatever they can for him because of that. And he loves the players.
This one's for you, AJ. Tyrone from Saskatoon, he said, how much do you think we could raise here from Riders Nation if you gave up your hair for the 50-50?
Oh, my God. Record-breaking, I would say. And that might have to be a thing towards the end of the career.
You think people want to keep his hair?
No, we just want to cut it.
Cut it!
Oh.
Like for charity. Like charity. For charity. Oh. Offer it up, shave the head for charity.
Oh, gotcha. I was like, man, raffled off for 50-50. I was like, man.
You would be in that raffle trying to get the loss.
It's because I was going to do it when you go to sleep tonight.
yeah, but I was also thinking about the hair, the camper. I can't be living in a camper next year. Having a kid in the offseason, right? So I got to grow up and...
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Do you think he's going to grow up? You guys think he's going to grow up?
I hope not.
That's not going to help. It didn't help me.
I was going to say. Kids.
I'm still waiting to grow up.
What's the advice, Trev?
Oh, no, he's going to be an awesome dad, man. All seriousness, I know, like, joke around a lot, but not about being a dad. He's going to be an outstanding dad because he cares about who he's with right now, and he's going to be a terrific dad.
I witnessed it. I was still doing the post-game show from Winnipeg, and I'm on the air, and we're talking to Saskatchewan and getting callers, and a great cup, and you guys have already gone into the locker room to celebrate. The field's empty. I had my back turned for a minute, and I turn around, and AJ Ouellette and Logan Ferland are just lying in the middle of the field. Why'd you come back out? What was that moment like to share with Logan Ferland?
So it's Logan's idea. I got in a broke away from the mosh pit of the celebration in the locker room. And he looked at me and goes, do you want to go on the field? I'm like, yes, I want to go on the field. And we walked out there. And as soon as that cold weather hit and like the stands were empty, it was just a surreal moment. And I'm like, dude, I needed to do this. And we walked out there in the middle and we laid down on the confetti. And we said, man, in like 20 years, this is probably the first thing that we're going to think of when we think of the Grey Cup is just this. And then, we sat there for 10 minutes talking about anything except football. And it was just like, just life with brothers. And, I'm never going to forget that conversation with Logan.
It's interesting. You hear guys speak about football and what the game means to them. But the one thing that I think applies to both of you is in the off season. You hear guys, I just heard that Marshawn Lynch interview with Luke Wilson on his podcast, and he was like, I still get up some mornings and I want to hit somebody. Like, do you have that? Like, do you have to take a break, or when you're not playing, or like, how does your mind, how do you relax in the off season and get that out of your system?
I'm lucky enough to have a sports performance gym that I own back home. So my relaxing is yelling at kids to lift more weight, sprint faster, and like just be a champion in their sport, right? So it's going to be something I miss for sure, is getting up and hitting someone. I know it was hard for me to celebrate immediately after the game and the next day. Like, I remember Andrew looking at me, he goes, "Why do you look angry?" I'm like, I'm still thinking of three plays in the game. And then I think there's another game next week. Like, it's just.
What three plays?
There was just some run plays that I felt like I could have been in there a little bit better. And then, of course, the penalty there at the end.
Do you have that? You got to as a quarterback.
Yeah, that's why I didn't want to watch the game. And then AJ made me watch the game today. And sure enough, there was three plays that I feel like I wish I would have done differently. But I'll tell you, Montreal did a great job defensively. They had a tremendous plan. They mixed up their coverages and the way they kind of rolled their rotations and whatnot. They did a really good job. And then by a few drives in, we'd kind of figured it out in terms of, you know, what we were trying to do and how we could kind of combat it. But, yeah, there were still three plays that, you know, you kind of want back.
Saskatchewan wants you both back.
That's awesome.
Can you promise them that?
I can't yet. Can't yet.
I wish I could call the shots. I do not.
You still need a call from somebody. I understand. But how bad do you want? Everybody's talking about never happened in Saskatchewan Rough Riders history. Let's get six. Let's go back to back.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
That's ideally what you'd want to do is like, that's immediately like, I feel like I kind of have a little bit of a sickness and you kind of ask like, what do we do to kind of unwind? I don't, it's just, I've never been wired that way. I've just always felt like, you know, underdog, keep the mentality of keep working. I've already started off season workouts, started them yesterday, and AJ's same way. You know, we're just like, what are you going to do? Like, just sit here and not like, we like to work out. And so we just went in and got after it a little bit, and it was fun. And, that's immediately what you start thinking is like, this was cool. How do you do it again? You know, but it's like, oh, so far away, a lot of work to do. But at the same time, there's a lot of opportunity in the time and the off season to, if it works out, to get better and find how do you kind of fill those holes and find the gaps in the game of how to get better. And, you know, just try and get yourself a little bit more youthful. And I'd like to be able to come back next year and be able to run a little bit better and push the ball down the field a little bit better. And so there's things that, you know, I know AJ's probably brainstorming, and we'll talk the whole way home. I can promise you that, of things that we're going to do this offseason, just kind of racking our brains a little bit, and how can we get better?
What's going to be on that bracelet next year?
That's a great question. And Mace asked me that, and I don't know if this was like a get me to answer this question, meaning I'm coming back, but
that might be the most creative like, way to try to say
it. But I do feel like I'd be shocked if it didn't work out. But that's something that Mace asked me. He goes, "What's our mantra next year, Seven? This is going to be tough." He's like, "I feel like we use the good ones." I was like, Coach, it'll happen organically. We'll get it, and it'll be fine.
That is a bit of our conversation with Trevor Harrison, AJ Ouellette. Yesterday, of course, the full conversation you can find at cjme.com, ckom.com, or wherever you find the Green Zone podcast.
Can that be my highlight?
That interview was your highlight of 2025?
I got a couple of other ones.
Absolutely.
That's one of them.
What a year, Saskatchewan. We're asking you, what's your highlight or highlights of the 2025 season that ended with a championship? A little quick rider note, Jeremy O'Day is already going to work. Couple of re-signings, just practice roster type guys. Deshaun Mims, national wide receiver, defensive end Chico Bennett Jr., and a draft pick national defensive back Gideon Ajayi have re-signed with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. So J.O.'s already going to work as the offseason has begun. Coming up next, this day in sports history, one of the most controversial coaching decisions in Grey Cup history, as an MOP sits and watches the entire Grey Cup from the sideline. That story next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Ipswich Farm remembers.
The Saskatchewan Rough Riders are Grey Cup champions.
Who's back? Everybody scores!
On this day in sports history, one of the most controversial decisions in Grey Cup history. 2004 Grey Cup, the Toronto Argonauts are taking on the BC Lions, and the debate all weekend. Week going into that game was, will Wally Buono start Dave Dickinson or MOP of 2004, Casey Printers?
You heard Jason Claremont. He did not know an hour ago that Dave Dickinson gets the call, just four starts during the regular season, one relief game against the Argonauts.
Now you take a look at Casey Printers on the sideline watching, wondering if he'll get an opportunity to enter this football game today. There's his numbers on the year. The outstanding player in the CFL, 35 touchdowns, only 10 interceptions.
Casey Printers was only a spectator today. 27-19, an eight-point game. Printers never got a chance.
Yes, Printers sat and watched as his BC Lions lost to the Toronto Argonauts and Damon Allen in the 2004 Grey Cup. One MOP, Dave Dickinson did come in the West Final in relief because of injury and won that game over the Rough Riders, but still, how do you not play the MOP in the